on this committee because of the matter, the issues we're dealing with. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other apology? Or apologies? None. So today we will be dealing with two issues. One is the election of the person who will represent us, in fact, will represent the National Assembly on the Equality Committee. I had circulated to all members the correspondence from the speaker to recommend one person who will advise the minister on the operations of the Equality Court. And then thereafter, we will deal with the cannabis bill. Can I have nominations, members? I am using a different gadget, so it's there's no electricity this side. Can I have a name?
Yes, Chair.
Honorable Nola?
It's the Honorable Nola has his hand up. Sorry, Chair.
Okay. Thanks. Honorable Nola?
Yes, sir, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, Chair, I nominate the name of Comrade Nola. Honorable Nomathemba Masekojele.
Honorable Nomathemba Masekojele, are you available?
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. Yes, Chair, I'm available.
Thank you very much. Is there any other name? There are no other honorable judge.
No, Chair, I rise to support the name of Temba Jele, Nomathemba Masekojele, before she thinks that she's supported.
Thank you very much. The name has been supported. Any other name again? Gone. No other name. Honorable Masekojele has been nominated and will communicate such to the speaker. Thank you very much, members, for the cooperation. Can we now come back to the cannabis bill? I will start by allowing Dr. Lutz to take us through the legal opinion, issues relating to joint checking mechanism, issues relating to the bill possibly being tagged as a Section 76 bill. Dr. Lutz, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. Chair, I will be very brief. I think SIA circulated an opinion we gave earlier this year that addresses this. I think the crucial concern for the committee at the moment, Chairperson, is the timing of when the change in tagging becomes a relevant consideration. Once the committee has, through its A-list, made decisions on amendments that it wishes to bring to the bill as tabled, at that stage, we can do an analysis of what the impact is. Because on tagging, it's a very delicate process, I want to say, because it depends on sometimes a comma and whether something is merely empowering or whether it moves into the space of regulating something to the extent that it would impact a Schedule 4 consideration, such as trade or agriculture. So for this purpose, I want to almost put the members' minds at ease. The tagging issue does not impact or impede anything in the process now. Our primary concern is members deliberating on the content, deciding what they want to do, and then once that's done and we have an A-list, it's merely then a timing thing. So between the A-list being adopted by the committee and the second reading of the bill in Parliament, our office will then look at the amendments and advise the JTM, whether there is from the committee side anything that is being proposed as an amendment that could change, because the impact of the tagging will be more on the process of the NCOP. It does not influence the process of this committee at the moment. So nothing prevents the committee from deliberating, deliberating on amendments or anything. But then once those amendments have been agreed upon in the committee, that we know for certain what the wording will be at that stage, once the committee is done with its A-list business, we will then provide an opinion and analysis. But I'll keep check and be here the whole time and make notes. So that opinion should be able to come out very quickly after the A-list. But yeah, in terms of rule of joint rule 163, it says the JTM may change the classification of a bill before the second reading. So it's just that we must just fall into that gap. But yeah, at this stage, there's nothing that the committee has to worry about. It can really just focus on the substance and the deliberations of the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lutz. Members, any comments or questions to Dr. Lutz? So we are all fine. I think so. Thank you very much, Dr. Lutz. Let's come to the bill now. Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I did circulate the document that is portrayed on the screen, I hope. It's a rework of the Cannabis for Private Purposes Bill. I did circulate it previously. I think of the comments and responses. I again circulated yesterday. I did make some smaller amendments to it last night, but I'll discuss everything in detail. So let's kick off. First amendment is to the long title of the bill. And the first two items are removed here. The reason therefore is that the bill is partitioned in chapters further on. Chapter one, amongst others, deals with cannabis for private purposes. Chapter two will deal with commercialization. Chapter three will deal with our special measures to deal with cultural and religious organizations. And then there's a fourth chapter, and the fourth chapter is the general provisions. I think it's probably advisable to do it in this way. Don't know what will happen in the National Council of Provinces. So if there is some other substantive amendments that may facilitate commercialization, amongst others through regulations, can more readily, easily be slipped in under the chapter. And then you don't need to renumber everything. So that is the main reason. Okay, the first amendment is marked in red. And that was, I think, already discussed, and that is as a result of the new clause 2.4. I do propose an option there too, amongst others, that the palliation and medication part can be renamed. And that's mainly as a result of criticism that I received from Department of Health. If you look further on the bill, further on subsection 2.4, according to them, the clause creates an impression that raw cannabis is now available for medicine, and it is not available in terms of the schedules of the Medicine Act. Just the option. My submission is the first one is still right. Second one can be considered. One must just also then look at clause 24F5, there's a comprehensive definition of self-medicate, and it actually deals with palliation and medication. Sorry, my computer's a bit plastic.
Mr. Robertson, members, you will just speak if you want something to be raised. If members are quiet, we will assume that they are fine, then we'll move on. If I don't see your hands, just speak.
Mr. Chairperson, I think this indicates that I must start with the A list. So it's probably necessary to consider two options here. Are we going to use the wording, use cannabis for palliation or medication? Or then in the context of the private use provision, just use the words and to use cannabis to self-medicate. I think their problem is palliation and medication. And their concern is mainly to medication, and raw cannabis cannot be prescribed in terms of the Medicines Act. So both is correct according to me. It's just a perception that may be created. So the second option, this one, is probably the one to go with. So can I have some kind of indication maybe?
Any objection to the second option?
No objection.
No objection. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. I'll try to effect the necessary amendments.
Okay. Honorable Neho Dufin.
Honorable Neho Dufin.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to everyone. Mr. Robertson, through you, Chair. If I actually prefer the first option, where it says, just give me a second, where it says use cannabis for palliation or medication. The second option says use cannabis to self-medicate. I mean, some people, you know, don't just self-medicate, or, you know, they go to herbalists or, you know, homeopaths and people like that. So if we use the second option, it seems like it only applies to people who self-medicate. So I have a query or concern about that second part. Thank you, Chair. The second option.
So we'll take it that you are objecting to the second option. Any further input? Mr. Robert?
Chair, it's not, my only reason for not being comfortable with second option is the self-medicate part, or the term self-medication. Because it also, I mean, it has a specific implication, it has a specific meaning for people who self-medicate, who don't go to degreed doctors, and they go to traditional healers, herbalists, homeopaths, etc.
Okay. Any guidance, Mr. Robertson?
I wanted to...
Come in, Honorable Jada.
Thank you, Chair. No, I think he has already sensed to me. I wanted us to go back to self-medicate. Maybe that will help us. So I can see that he's there right now, Chair, already.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Maybe just to clarify, I do not think that homeopath or anybody else can actually use cannabis to treat somebody else. Actually prohibited in terms of the Medicines Act, Section 22A, if I remember correctly. And they cannot actually prescribe it or use it on another person. That is the current status in terms of the Medicines Act. So that was exactly the complaint that was raised by the Department of Health. Just changed the words. We kind of included already if we use this definition of self-medicate. It's kind of neutral, and but they object that we actually use medication. It's an indication that doctors can actually treat you or provide palliation services. So that's my explanation.
Honorable Sort.
I'm either way, Mr. Roberts indicated either option would be acceptable, but maybe the second option, because it refers to the definition of self-medicate, is more accurate. But I'm in the hands of the committee either way. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Nugot Johan, are you still, after the explanations, are you still holding the strong view that you prefer option number one?
Chair, no. If there's a definition in the option, then it's fine. Then it would be fine. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. So we'll go for option number two.
Before you go, Chair, I think I still want to, I can understand where Honorable Verma is coming from, Nibot Rahan. Chair, I think if I hear I also see the definition that we have been given, but I still want to also, because if we are saying self, I think there's a point there in terms of self and having, there are people who are using herbalist and it is allowed here in the country. If those people can go there and the herbalist prescribed something that is a medication that contain cannabis, what's going to happen to that person? Because now it would have been prescribed by the herbalist to this person.
Mr. Roberts,
Mr. Chairperson,
sorry, before Mr. Roberts, sir. It's me, Honourable Woman, you heard Rufin again. It's interesting that it's referred to the homeo. I had actually said herbalist, so not homeopath. It's actually the interpreter. I think there's. Okay, so there was an interpreting mistake. The interpreter said the term homeopath. I actually meant strictly herbalist who would prescribe cannabis. My point was raised specifically in terms of herbalist, not homeopath, as per the interpreter's mistake.
Thank you very much, Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Chairperson, I think during the comments and responses, we did deal with this aspect. I did previously indicate section 22A of the Medicines Act, amongst others, provide that only a doctor, a dentist, psychiatrist, like professions, can prescribe Schedule 6 medicines. Currently, cannabis is include in Schedule 6, that is cannabis THC and cannabis material. if I remember correctly, CBD is included in Schedule 3. So strictly speaking, there's other problem. Since there's no medicine within the definition of medicine, Section 1 of the Medicines Act, registered with SAHPRA, there is really no medicine that can be prescribed. And I did indicate that your cannabis is not catered for in terms of the Medicines Act. So my submission is if somebody else prescribed it to you, it's probably contrary to the Medicines Act, and it will be illegal. Sorry, Mr. Chairperson, the first question, I only heard a small part of it, and that just be repeated before the Honourable Nivad Griffin.
Honourable Jala, can you repeat your question?
Thank you, Chair. I think it was almost still the same, following up on what Honourable Belma Nihut Drachen said, Chair. It was on the issue of herbalists. You know, we do have herbalists, and they do their prescriptions to their patients. And they normally mix the herbs, Chair. And I hear what Mr. Debris says, but now my worry is that are we discriminating against those herbalists? Because I'm not sure, because they are allowed to operate, Chair. And now if we are saying Bona, they cannot prescribe to their patient, and because of a clause that is in the one that Mr. Dupree spoke about, I'm not sure how we pass this one. We don't have a problem with option 2, but it's only that way itself, Chair. Thank you.
It's Mr. Robert, not Mr. Dupree.
Oh, my apology, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Robertson.
Honourable Ms. Jelle, I think I did previously indicate there is a specific piece of legislation that regulates herbalists, habitats, etc. It was discussed in the first comment in the responses document. And I do indicate there that those people actually do not have currently the right to prescribe it as a medicine. Obviously, it's in the hands of the Department of Health to amend it if they wish. But my submission is, again, it falls outside the ambit of this bill. And this small amendment is just to get rid of that kind of perception that worries the Department of Health. It will actually do nothing, even if we leave the first one. It must actually be evaluated in the context of a clause 2.4. And really, even there, a doctor cannot prescribe it. He can merely issue a certificate so that the person can cultivate or possess cannabis in excess of the prescribed amounts. But even a doctor cannot prescribe it. He can only issue that certificate. Thank you.
So that certificate can only be issued by Western-trained doctors.
Mr. Chairperson, I do leave it open a second option, in that the Minister of Health may designate certain persons other than health practitioners who may prescribe it. Even if you look at Section 22 of the Medicines Act and Schedule 6, or rather the schedules to the Drugs Act, there's specific guidelines who may prescribe what and who may administer what to whom. And even nurses, sisters, can actually administer quite potent scheduled medicines to a person. But the Medicines Act and the schedules regulate that in detail.
Can I suggest that maybe if we go to other clauses, we'll come back to this clause. Maybe as we go through the bill, this matter might be much more clearer. We'll come back to it before we move to the A list.
Thank you. The second clause. Supervisor, can I just mark it so that you don't forget it? With the percentage. Okay. The further amendment to the long title relates to the expungement. Clause 8 of the bill was subsequently amended to also provide for the expungement of the criminal records of persons that were convicted of dealing in cannabis on the ground of unconstitutional presumption. This is merely added into the long title. Was adopted in accordance with that proposal that was made in respect of Clause 8. Since the long title usually followed a sequence of the provisions in the bill, the commercial activities description and long title has been moved to this place. There is one amendment to the description, and that is the aim to delete the word recreational, since a lot of people actually objected to that. They just want us to stipulate it must be commercial activities in respect of cannabis. Then recreational is just like ordinary use it for fun. But there's a lot of other uses of cannabis that is not included in the word recreational. So we accommodate them. There is amendments to this effect in the current clause 10 that was the old 1A. And I will discuss it later. The other one is the old section 1B that regulates the exemption for cultural and religious purposes. One can look at paragraph 2.1 and 2.2 of the Common Responses document. There was objection taken to the fact that the long title, even when it was sent out for comment, reflected that it only applies to Rastafarian people. Obviously, that was a mission from the department side, and it's now corrected. Continuing. I did explain the petitioning of the bill in chapters. I'm not going to do that again. Chapter 1 will then deal with cannabis for personal use. And that's basically the old bill with, give or take, two clauses, which is actually in the general provision of the bill, chapter 4. So that is taken out and it is inserted in chapter 2, which currently becomes clause 10, and chapter 2 deals with cannabis commercial activities. Chapter 3 is in special measures to accommodate cultural and religion, and chapter 4 is your general provisions. And that is more or less it was split up in chapters. Chapter 1 deals then with cannabis for personal use. There is a small amendment proposed to clause 1.1. That is that the definition should only apply to this chapter, chapter one. My submission, it doesn't apply outside this chapter, actually. But it's probably better to evaluate this if we go through the bill. So I'll leave that, no need for decision on that. The definition of cannabis is more problematic though. There were two previous options that was proposed to the committee, and some of the content actually proposed by the committee itself. There's also a third option, a new option that is inserted. I firstly want to point out that in the definition of cannabis, these were excluded. I will discuss the content of THC in the leaves, the stalks, the flower, etc. later on. And I believe in terms of the United Nations document that's on drugs, or more or less cannabis, leaves contain a percentage THC between 1% and 2%. So it's relatively high. The second option, basically the same as the first, paragraph B, it was previously recommended that we stipulate an amount of 1% THC, the committee then changed it to 2% for volume. And the department then proposed certain other provisions or amendments to the definition, among others to cater for a less amount of THC in respect of certain offences, mainly insofar as it involves children, as well as use of cannabis in a motor vehicle, as well as smoking, etc. and consumption. That's just the third one. So the big problem here is that it becomes kind of very technical for a police official to kind of enforce this. There's a lot of percentage THC that must be taken into account. The third option, the first subparagraph is basically the same, the previous one. It actually omits the technical description and in the above proposed definition of cannabis, which deal with lesser amounts of THC. And the third option that is proposed is mainly to include the flowering tops of a flowering plant that has not been separated from the plant under the definition of cannabis. The problem is to this extent, and which paragraph B aims to address, is that if I take cannabis sativa, which is full of flowers, and walk down the street, I actually not possessing raw cannabis, since it is not separated from the plant. Even if I dry it, still on the plant, it's from the cannabis, since it is not separated from the plant. And this just mainly aims to address that. I think this is just oversight that the department corrects from their side. The more important provision is paragraph 8.2. It's actually do away with this long technical distinction between various quantities of THC that applies to different sections. We were previously asked, amongst others, to firstly inquire what the limit should be that needs to be prescribed. And I think the second question that was asked is, what was the content of the different parts of the plant? And the different parts of the plant and the THC content there too is described in footnote 9. And the flowers can contain up to 22% or even higher. I did look at literature. There's actually some strains that purports to have 28% THC, or rather THCA in the flowers. Already indicated that leaves something like 1 to 2% THCA content, and the stalks and the rest of the plant has very low THC content. And I obtained this from a very authoritative document from the United Nations Office of Drugs and Crime, 2009. A more tricky aspect is what is the limit that must be determined in terms of the bill. The problem is that other legislation of other countries actually do not provide sufficient guidance in this regard. Two aspects that were considered, amongst others, medicinal legislation of many countries. And certain countries actually do prescribe limits of THC in edibles, and also in respect of the strains of cannabis that can be planted. And if one look at edibles, proportion, it's mainly either 5 milligrams of THC up to 10 milligrams of THC. We should have then considered what is the effect of THC on a person, what is the effective dose. And according to the literature, some people will start to be affected if they consume something like 2.5 milligrams of THC, whilst others actually need something like 50 milligrams of THC before they get high. I must just explain that if one take 1 gram of cannabis flower that contains something like 2% THCA, it will contain 20 milligrams of THC. But that is not the available content that will cause high. THC needs to be carboxylated. And if you carboxylate it in a controlled process, it can lose up to between 12% and 14% of its weight. On the other hand, if you smoke cannabis, or even in some instances where you use element vape, only something like 50% THC is converted to THC, and which can affect you. And then we also worked with something like pharmacodynamical equivalence and physical equivalence and a lot of other things. What affects the THC is in the body, if you smoke it, if you eat it, etc. My submission is that, look, this cannot be determined very scientifically. Bottom line is, we can probably stick with 2%. My submission is actually, if we want to bring this long technical description or do away with it, just determine 1% THC. There's literature available to what effect of cannabis is on the child or young person, and really nobody has died after overdose of cannabis or THC. So for enforcement purposes, my submission is stick either to 1 or 2% and do away with this unenforceable technical provision in the second option, this one. So that is the main decision. Which way do we go? Mr. Jefferson, can I stop there and then...
Mr. Roberts, are you recommending option 2? Can you hear me?
Mr. Jefferson, sorry. Hello? Can you hear me? Mr. Jefferson?
Members, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello? Okay, can I continue? Hey. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
boy. Hello? Oh, sorry, okay. Okay, I recommend option 3. Option 2, this technical distinction is unworkable. Nobody will be able to enforce it. According to literature, child may get sick if he consumes cannabis that's quite high THC content. But really, child will not die. And if he doesn't use it continually, obviously, it will not be affected adversely. For enforcement purposes, I would rather stick with option 3. And the big decision then is, must we go for 1 or 2%?
Recording in progress.
Members, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Chair.
I don't know what is happening.
Guidance is needed on are we going to prescribe 2 or 1%. I think the Honourable Mr. Warren previously was quite adamant we need to prescribe 2%. The department were previously at the view, let's prescribe 1%. This must be considered as a whole, especially in the relation to offences, the children involved. We smoke or use cannabis in terms of towards 5 or in respect of driving offences. 2%, I did indicate that 1 gram cannabis containing 2% THC is quite potent according to the edible criteria of when will it affect you is about 3.4 times in excess of the prescribed amount for cannabis edibles. That is 1 gram of cannabis. So that is the only question. If we do accept option 3, the only need is then to distinguish between the percentage. If you don't agree with this, you're going to be stuck with option 2, and this is the technical, unimplementable provision. Thank you.
I'm not sure that the chair is still with us. I think we just need to wait a little bit.
Fine.
Okay.
See ya.
Yeah. Okay, I'm back. Yeah, this load shedding is creeping half of this side. I was saying to Mr. Roberts, according to him, it's option 1 and option 3 that can be implementable. Option 2, he has got implementation problems because of its technicality. Am I correct, Mr. Roberts?
That's correct, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I have the following people, Honorable Iako, Honorable Jelle, Honorable Glenis Breitenbach, Honorable Horn in that order. Honorable Iako.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm comfortable with option 3 with 2%.
2%, option 3. Okay. Are you done, Honorable Iako?
Yes, Chair, I'm done.
Thank you very much, Honorable Jelle.
I think the vote is now against me because it's two people proposed to. I was going to find out because he was just explaining it between 2 and 1, why, because the department initially they came with 1 and 2 was initiated by Honorable Horn, and now it is supported. So I'm supporting it too because already the vote is against me. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I agree with Mr. Roberts that 2 is completely unimplementable. And the last point in this committee passing or considering passing legislation that we know is unenforceable. So I think we should just scrap that completely. I just want to know from Mr. Roberts if he knows. Different plants grown in different places appear to have different properties. And for want of a better phrase, seem to have a higher level of the active ingredient than others. And how do we determine what to do with that? Thank you.
Thank you very much. You support the two previous speakers in option 3. With 2%, but you have a question, is that correct?
That's correct, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Horn?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Mr. Roberts seems to remember my stance somewhat differently to what my own recollection is. My recollection at the time was that I asked whether the department could, based on, I want to say, science, advise the committee as to what would be the typical tipping point, which could then substantiate criminalization. Now, I must say that his explanation today, to my mind, makes more sense and indicates less of an arbitrary decision making. So before the Honorable Maseko Jelo now. My apologies to you, Chair.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, before the Honourable Maseko Jele now indicated that she would then support the 2%, I wanted to just ask Mr. Roberts to again repeat the part for my own benefit, where he indicated that the 1% typically would, if one looks as to the actions that is criminalized, so that would be driving, administering or supplying to a child, etc. His explanation around what 1% typically would achieve, for us to just carefully consider that. So it's not that I'm walking back my initial stance, but just to explain that my initial stance is ultimately, I think we should take a decision based on science rather than something that could bring this committee into the position where we are accused of having taken arbitrary decisions. Thank you.
Chair, can I respond?
Yes, you can respond.
Ms. Thorn, sorry. Previously, you only indicated that you, or rather you suggested 2% THC volume for this clause. And I did indicate that the technical part actually came as a result from comments, and the department actually proposed this as an option, this technical stuff. Really, it's unimplementable. You didn't actually do this. This was the department that did it. The Honourable Ms. Blatenbach, regarding the THC content in cannabis plants, it is correct. Okay, let me start. Even if you take the same strain of cannabis plants and you actually cultivate it in different countries, there may either be an increase of THC over a period of time in the same strain, also a decrease. This is quite relevant, I believe, in, when one look at hemp. I've got a document here. A person actually did a comprehensive study of hemp cultivars right through the world, part of a PhD. And yes, according to his studies, there is an increase, depending on the climate where a plant grows. If one goes further, there's also a cross-pollination between different strains, which either increase or decrease the THC content. Most countries overseas, where commercialization has been implemented, actually prescribe certain strains that need to be planted, that the person can plant, sorry. And which are also commercial plant and for the recreational cannabis system that's in place, and they actually do prescribe a certain percentage of THC. It varies from state to state. I think some states it's around about 14%, up to about 18%. Regarding hemp, I did indicate yesterday that the European and the US standard is between 0.2% and 0.3%, whereas other countries, amongst others, certain Australian states, let's call it that, do actually prescribe, in respect of them, a higher percentage of THC. I believe it's up to 1%. even if one look at the New Zealand hemp regulations, the THC content that was determined there is 0.35%. My submission is in terms of this bill, it's not necessary to regulate the high THC content cannabis currently. It will become very relevant later on if there is commercialization. That is obviously to ensure that the product that is becomes available to users has got a safe limit of THC. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Hon, are you answered?
Yes, thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Honorable Krippenbach.
Thank you, Chair. I am answered, although the answer has given rise to another question. May I ask it?
Yes, please.
Mr. Robertson, you referred to ensuring with regards to commercialization and plants for that purpose, etc., ensuring that there's a safe limit. Could you expand on that? Because as far as up to now, I've understood that there is no unsafe limit. It may have different effects, but as you say, nobody has died. So could you just explain that?
Sorry, Honourable Ms. Breitsmach, sorry, kind of my connection is probably very bad.
Okay.
It gives rise to another question, and then it goes like beep, beep, beep.
Oh. Self-imposed sentence. I'm asking with regards to your last comment. As you closed off, you said you wouldn't, you know, when it comes to commercialization, this issue may be relevant and we'd have to determine safe limits. Could you expand on that comment of safe limits? As up to now, I've understood that there's nothing unsafe about this entire project. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Look, this is quite a technical exercise, determining a safe limit, a relative safe limit for products. One can look on the internet, amongst others, just labeling products that is sold to persons with correct THC content for medical purposes as well as recreational purposes. The big problem is that persons to some extent overdose on cannabis, and there's a kind of increase in trend of cannabis in certain areas. So it's like when you buy a beer, you don't want beer with 18% alcohol content. It's rather beer with 3% alcohol content. So safe in the context of that, one can probably predetermine what its effect is going to be on you. That is probably as far as I can take it. I can give you the necessary documentation which do explain this percentage safe limit at some stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think I felt the same like Comrade Breitenbach after the response, Chair, because there are different percentages in different countries. And the 2% that we are talking about now, it is more on that one of, is it the United States, as he indicated just now. My question is that, because initially the department was talking about 1%, and now we are on the matters or the issues of commercialization. And this 2% and 1%, what was informed, what was it that informed us to find ourselves here? Does that those reasons still materialize if, because now we are talking in terms of commercialization, and research up to this far that has given these different percentages, maybe it's me that I missed it, Chair. It doesn't tell us exactly why is it like in other countries, 3%, 1%, is it those percent, are those percent talking to the commercialization that we are about it today here, Chair? And again, is this percentage that we've been given by the department maybe prescribed by other acts within the country, like he was talking about the health acts and all those ones earlier? Is it we are restricted because of that? That's a question, Chair. Those are two questions that I would request that I get clarity. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. Regarding other legislation that do provide for cannabis in South Africa, my submission is only the Medicines Act and the schedules to the Medicines Act, and obviously the Drugs and Drug Trafficking Act, which this bill aims to amend. If one look at Schedule 6 to the Medicines Act, we'll see that there is inclusion of THC in Schedule 6, and the percentage that is described is, I think, around 0.02%. So it's quite low, but that is... And they also use that schedule to mainly exclude the constitutional defect in the Medicines Act in respect of persons who cultivate and use in private in accordance with the Prince Judgment. So my submission is, if one look at that, you can say that what was determined is 0.02% in respect of THC, and there's also a 0.01% determination in respect of THC if it is, I think, for products for human use. I think it's discussed in length in the first comment and responses document, which is not available currently, sorry. Regarding what informs us to recommend 1% in the first place, to the extent that we need to reach a minimum threshold to start off to enforce the bill. It was arbitrary, as Mr. Wong remarked. That's correct. It was arbitrary decision. And to subsequently amend it to 2% THC. Regarding commercialization, this is not relevant to commercialization currently. This is only for purposes of this bill, and that is to regulate THC or substance containing THC. Even I did try to explain it in length. In this paragraph, and I did also give other information. And this is mainly to indicate that your minimum dose THC that will have effect on persons is 0.25 milligrams THC. If you use, take 1 gram of cannabis flower containing 2%, It will mainly contain 20 milligrams of THCA. And if you convert or decarboxylate it to wheat, it will lose some weight, but you probably end up on around about 70 milligrams in any case. And that is about three times this amount of THC. Problem is that edibles is usually pure THC. It may be in a package of something like 20, 50 milligrams, containing 5 milligrams THC, whereas you need to smoke about a gram of cannabis to more or less get three times this amount. As that explains it, I can scale down.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Robertson. I think we had already agreed on the 2% and option 3. Can we proceed? Mr. Robertson?
Chair, can you hear me?
No, we can't hear you.
Sorry, from where?
In fact, you have not started.
Well,
the last time we spoke to you is when you say, can we proceed? So we're expecting you to take us to the next clause.
Sorry, it's like my network is playing up and down. Let me continue. Cannabis product is relevant to clause 1-2. We can probably delete cannabis product from this definition section, since commercialization of cannabis is dealt with in chapter 2. It is relevant or may become relevant there, and it can be inserted in chapter 2. Regarding commercial quantities, I think this was previously explained. This is merely a technical amendment in response to comment and responses. I think what was said is that Schedule 4 determines amount, and then the definition say exceeds that amount. So to correct this is to include the amount that is specified in Schedule 4 and any quantity in excess thereof. That also applies with to the definition of trafficable quantity, which will be discussed later on. You can still hear me, I hope?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Other definition, fresh cannabis. We take out leaves. One must remember leaves actually contain 2% of up to 2% THC, but it's between 1% and 2%. The option there too is, as explained previously, under fresh cannabis, we accommodate paragraph B of option 3 of the definition to say, that fresh cannabis means the fruity, flowering tops of a flowering cannabis plant that has not been separated from a plant. otherwise they can walk in the street with a dry cannabis plant, or in this case, cannabis plant with fruit, and this will not constitute cannabis. The definition of guardian, this is amended in response to submissions that we received, or, and it is discussed in paragraphs 3.3 and 3.4 of the comment in the responses. The recommendations were made to the effect that Ms. Rady used the word responsible adult, and they did provide elaborate definition. It was discussed in the comment and responses, so I don't want to repeat that or discuss it in detail. It's quite lengthy. So two options is mainly proposed. Option one is the responsible adult, who is in the position of authorities, the vision of care for child. And this is in relation to Section 6.1. Section 6.1, among others, provides as follows, that an adult person or guardian will knowingly allow a child to smoke cannabis, plant cannabis, human cannabis is guilty of an offense. I will discuss that later on. So the options is we either follow option one. First option is dealt with similar to that in the Criminal Law Sexual Offences Act. And the second option stipulates a responsible adult means the parent, guardian, or other person who has parental responsibilities and rights in respect of a child. And that definition was taken from the Prevention and Combating of Trafficking Persons Act. I must again indicate, and that's objection that was raised by the commenter to the effect that guardian or parent is insufficient to describe for these purposes, and especially a guardian deals with not to say parental authority or control of the child. One can be a guardian and irrespective of the fact that you never come into contact with a child. So that is the two options. My submission is that we can probably go with the first option. It's quite wide. It actually extends further than a traditional parent or guardian. And this is any person who is in a position of authority or supervision or care of a child to actually allow the child to commit that offences will be two different offences. So my submission is option one. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Members, there's option one and option two. Any takers? We have to give guidance to Mr. Roberts so that they can be able to draft the A list. So we are going through the options. We must express our preference. His preference is option one.
Chairperson.
Honorable Jale.
Thank you, Chair. This option one, I might myself align myself with it because it is open, even covering those children, child-headed families, if I may say so. I'm not sure if maybe I will be out of order with that one, but I thought it also involved, if you, because it's open. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Horn.
Yes, Chair, I also thought that we should go with the broader definition. So I'm in support of option one. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Let's proceed.
Thanks, Mr. Chairperson. Try to delete this one. Okay, option two. This should go. Amendments to the definition of immature cannabis plants, as been explained previously. It's called a glint with discus removed, and it was mainly amended to the fact that it excludes a seedling. It's actually just technical amendments. Fireplace needs a more comprehensive approach here. That is in response of National Health of Traditional and Koi Sun leaders, which made comment to the effect that communal property is actually not a private place in terms of this bill. I did explain yesterday that if you look at paragraph 108 of the police judgment, read in conjunction with the first definition of private place and public place, that one can come to the conclusion that communal property or land is actually already included. But to accommodate the concern, private place is amended, and the current paragraph becomes paragraph A. And paragraph B is an incentive which reads as follows: any part or portion of the communal land as defined in section 1 of the Communal Rights Act, which is in terms of the rules and customs of the community. And that is, this act actually provides for the registration thereof in terms of section 19.1. And obviously, if the community does not register this, there's certain standard rules that apply. That's catered for in section 95 of the Act. But in terms of these rules and customs, it must be a place which is exclusively used to cultivate cannabis plants. A private place is contemplated in section 21B. And that is the private cultivation for private use, or section 24A, that is medicinal palliation cultivation. And the second one, also a place where cannabis can be consumed in private by adult members of such community to the exclusion of others. So this is one option that can cater or make it clarify the situation to ensure that communal land is actually included, specifically included under private space. So the second definition amendment that caters for this is option two to the definition of public place. Sorry,
can you correct that option? Well, you've got two option ones.
But this is in respect of private place. Public place, maybe it's private place. Mr. Jefferson, the first option is in relation to private place, and the second option one is in respect of a public place. Sorry.
Okay. I see now. So that is option one.
It was probably necessary to explain the amendment to public place as well, since they complement each other. Public place, the current provision becomes paragraph A, that is any place to which public has access of right. And then again, to accommodate or further clarify that if a public place, paragraph B is inserted to read any part or portion of the mineral right which is not exclusively used to cultivate or consume cannabis as contemplated in paragraph B of the definition of private place. So if one, if the committee opts for option one, it's probably necessary to consider option one on the public place as well. And if this is rejected, the second option for option one to public place will be also will fall foul. Thank you.
But both of them are option one, so where is option two of each of them?
It's option. Mr. Jefferson, sorry, the current definition is private place. So option one to that is this definition. Public place is the current place. I can probably just say option, but I prefer to name it option one, just in case there's other options that need to be inserted. So if it's either both options one survive or the current clauses needs to be taken forward. Thank you.
Any comments, members? Honorable Jayla.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'll support the one that is responding to the concerns of the National House of Traditional and Christian Leaders. That is the one that.
Okay, that one. Okay, thank you. Honorable Newport Truffin.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with what Honorable Jayla has just said to support the amendment that accommodates the views of the National House of Traditional Leaders.
Thank you very much. Any different opinion? None? Can we proceed?
If I remember the amendments, yeah. The definition of speaking as previously explained, what is mainly the amendments is to increase its length and width from 15 to 30 centimeters. Definition of smoke was previously explained, and this is mainly to cater for vaping. The definition of THC is two options. Option one is THC, which mainly refers to both the psychoactive substance and the non-psychoactive substance. And option two makes a distinction between THC and THCA. My submission is, however, that the first option is probably more preferable in this context. Cannabis definition is option three now. So THC will include both the psychoactive and non-psychoactive chemical, unless specified otherwise. There is a place in the bill, and I'll discuss them later on, where there is a distinction between the two.
Let's cross it.
So we go for option one.
Yes, there are no hands, so I think they are fine with option one.
It's just a marginal bit of the definition of this act, which is defined as to include the regulations. My submission is, since the bill is being split up in chapters, this definition may need to be revised at a later stage. I can do that in either not a big amendment to that effect. Definition of practical quantity as previously explained, may need to cater for the comments again, ensure that it's fair. It is a quantity up to commercial quantity. So, and the technical quantity is described in Schedule 4 to the Act. I already explained the deletion of Chapter 2, and that is due to the fact that it is now being dealt with in Chapter 2. Regarding prescribed quantities for personal use, the amendments to Subsection 3 was previously explained. It's the occasion. Probably need to deal with Subsection 3. In Subsection 3 mainly provides for the distribution inter se or between adults without any remuneration. It merely stipulates cannabis plants, and in this current schedule, what is described is actually one flowering cannabis plant, but obviously that cannot be allowed, and my submission is that you probably need to limit it to immature cannabis plants. In option two, to item G of Schedule 3, there was a suggestion that we can prescribe something like two immature cannabis plants. But my submission is rather limited here to immature cannabis plants and not leave it open to cannabis plants that may be flowering like such. The problem with that, can I delete cannabis plant?
Okay. Let's proceed. I don't see any hands. I think at this stage, let's break for tea break so that Mr. Roberts can also have time to drink some tea. Can we come back at 20 past 11?
Thank you, Shane.
That's fine, thanks.
Thank you.
Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
Can we start?
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Dealing with clause 24A, that is a clause that deals with the making available of cannabis in excess of the prescribed quantities. Clause mainly the same. There were some technical corrections made to it. The only real thing is, again, the cannabis plant, the mature cannabis plant, reference there to, in light of the fact that it was previously
recording in progress.
Help. The other amendment that was inserted here is that the authorized person will not be liable for any loss of sustain or damages caused to a person who used cannabis or CBD as a result of the issuing of that certificate of exemption. The problem is that for their consultation with certain practitioners, it was indicated that they're going to certify that the person requires palliation, and obviously implicitly indicate that yes, you can use cannabis. So this is just to cover them. Authorized person is already defined. Medical condition is defined here, and it includes the
Honorable Chairman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think if we can go back where he was talking about the persons who are the medical, those people that go up a little bit. Let's see the authorized people. Let me check here or down. The authorized people, where they're talking about the people here that may give permission, and the minister there is, I could see the minister.
Because
I want us, yes, where there's one, Roman figure 1BB, any category of persons designated by the minister in consultation with the cabinet members responsible for health. Is it this part, is it not the one that is part that is responding to where we were talking in terms of the definition, Chair, where they were talking about self, what is it that we were talking about? The one that we left, Mr. Robertson.
Medication.
Yeah, oh, the
long
yes,
title,
yes.
The summary.
Come again?
Mr. Robertson?
Mr. Chair, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Sorry. It's correct. It relates to the long title, the two options. The second option is that it's mainly for self-medication, and that is defined here in paragraph.
Yes. Is this the one, is it not also accommodating us on that part where we were saying
yes.
The issue? Yes, because I think yes. it negates the self, that self.
It's great.
Thank you, Chair.
I think now after this explanation, you now support you are withdrawing your objection. Honorable Jelle.
Chair, no, on that part, the issue was that he was talking about the self. In fact, there are two answers there. The answers on where the minister. I think the issue of the minister is also including the issue of the herbalist. The one that you were talking about, myself and Honorable Nivot Rahel.
Yes, so it's covered here because the minister, in consultation with the Minister of Health,
he can give a permission.
Yes, by notice in the Government Gazette.
Yes. So does it, my point is that, Chair, it means now it is agreeing with us that self that we were talking about, if we later we will go back to it, it means we need to take option, was it option A, the option without self?
No, we will go back to it as we had agreed. Let's first
okay,
proceed Chair. with the other.
Thank you, Chair.
Proceed, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. Definition of medical condition is inserted here, and that's mainly to, amongst others, clarify the clause further. Especially self-medicate in relation to what? And that's the medical condition. Self-medicate is really a simplification of sub-paragraph 5. And the clause 9.5 is false, or let's say clause 9, further amended, and clause 9 deals with the regulations. And in that clause, there is provision that regulations may need to be made to facilitate the implementation of this clause further. We can probably discuss it at a later stage. I don't think the amendment is contentious, and could actually just clarify the current clause. Is there any objection against it, or do I need to amend something here?
No, let's proceed.
Thank you. Cultivation offences was in the red was previously discussed. There's some penalties that may be imposed in respect of some offences. This clause was yesterday discussed, especially by Mr. Swart, Honourable Mr. Swart, and indicated that some of these requirements can probably not be met by poor communities. So in terms of clause 9.4, it provides that this regulations must, before publication is gazette, be approved by Parliament. That is the safeguard. I think I did discuss it yesterday. And then, it's subject to parliamentary control. Clause 3, is with cultivation of cannabis plants in a public place. Terms of first option, there's no distinction between immature and flowering cannabis plants. This is an option that where we differentiate between immature cannabis plant. The second one may need to be reconsidered, but one must also take into account that in rural areas, the distinction between a private place and a public place is sometimes problematic. In terms of the current clause, so clause B offense, there we make it a clause C offense. My submission is that we probably need to retain the clause B offense penalty in respect of a flowering cannabis plant in public place, but to provide for immature cannabis plants as provided for in paragraph A. So that is the clause that's proposed, and with the following amendment, it must be a class B offense, not a class C. So you can speak with the first one or the second one. Any decision?
Members, first one or the second one? First option or second one? Mr. Roberts, which is the preferred one?
Mr. Tipperson, is the second, the amended clause proposed, second sub three, with the amendment that it must be a clause B offense.
Is there any objection to the second option? None. The second one, let's proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. Mainly deals with exchange of immature cannabis plants, as is stated in the current clause amendment that I want to affect here to is to insert immature cannabis plant in paragraphs A, B, and C. It's mainly for the same purpose as previously explained. The ordinary cannabis plant may include a flowering cannabis plant, which is already a fruit or cannabis on it. So this is just to safeguard that and to ensure that immature cannabis plants, the subject to regulation here is obviously cannabis plants without flower. Don't think there's any objection to that. The main of this provision merely kind of provides for lesser offences. Actually, it was previously a class A offence, then I make it class B, previously a class B, make it class C. Again, I just considered the various objections against the harsh penalties. So, yeah. Subclause 6A, provides for dealing immature cannabis plants. And it's a stepwise criminalization, namely immature cannabis plant. Accused of a class B offense, if it's a trafficable quantity, it's a class C offense, and if it's a commercial quantity, it's now a class B offense. Again, the penalty was lessened. Other amendment that was affected is to sub clause 7. This can probably be considered by the committee. Class B offense currently is merely a fine. There is no previous conviction, and the fine can be enforced in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act. I'm either here or there regarding this, if it's a class B or class C offense, but possibly later on in the context of commercialization, we need to do stricter control in terms of cannabis plant alteration material. I think it's currently controlled in terms of the Plant Improvement Act. So it's either a class D offense or a class C offense. Although this option is the class C offense, I don't have a problem with the class D offense. It's probably preferable if you keep it a class D offense, since it doesn't cause major harm. So it's for the committee to decide if they want to make it a previous conviction and 12 months imprisonment with a fine of 40,000 rand, or merely a class B offense, which is a fine up to 20,000 rand. So must I keep it a class B or change it to class C?
I don't see any hands. I think the less harsher offense would win.
I just want to find out, just a question. What is the, who decides in terms of the amount of the fines? Is it the court or here? Because I hear you talking just for interest. I just want to understand who decides in terms of the amount. Thank you.
Mr. Roberts, yeah.
Complete phrase. There is a piece of legislation that regulates this. In terms of the Magistrates Courts Act, the minister may prescribe a maximum amount of fines in the ratio of imprisonment that the court can impose. I think in respect of Magistrates Court, it's currently 120,000 rand, and the regional court, 500,000 rand. Magistrates' courts work on a basis of 3 years, it equals 120,000. So that means 1 year is 40,000, 6 months is 20,000, 3 months is 10,000. That is the limit in which a court can sentence a person. Clause 4, I continue then. Clause 4 deals with cannabis offences. the Majosis amendments in the first two sub-clauses accommodates medicinal use of cannabis, and in the schedule there's specific increased amounts that a person can cultivate, but also if it's in excess of that amount, it can amount to a traffical quantity of cannabis as well as commercial quantity of cannabis. That is the start in Schedule 4. Clause 2, person initially changed to, subclause 2A. Relates to possession of cannabis in a private place. This is pure cannabis, can you smoke it, can you, one can deal with it. It caters in obviously for the prescribed quantities as well as the prescribed quantities for a medicinal use. Previously it was proposed that it must be a class B offense. My submission is we probably need to increase it to class C offense, since possession of cannabis in excess of a certain amount can easily facilitate getting, and it is kind of probably necessary to increase the penalty to at least a class C offense, that's 12 months for 40,000 rand. Again, the penalties that was previously lessened is just changed back to what it was previously. I don't think there's a problem in respect of this class of offences that we stick with the original class of offences. In any case, in the third option, the clause 7, imprisonment that can be imposed were actually slashed down significantly. So it's not as serious. It's not as serious as previously. The amendment to soft clause 3 was previously explained. We're going to deal with that. Soft clause 4, exchange of cannabis without remuneration, interstate between adults. And amendments there too, mainly caters, amongst others, for medicinal use of cannabis. Subclause 5, didn't change that. That's obviously a person who deals in cannabis to class A offense. I do make a proposal here, but to the extent that any person who deals in cannabis or a flowering cannabis farm is viewed as a class A offense. But since the committee actually opted for option 3, this is not necessary. In terms of that definition in part B, it will actually be deemed to be cannabis in terms of that definition. So we can remove this in light of option 3.
Your voice is too low, Mr. Robertson. We are struggling to hear you.
The Jefferson has got network problems here. It's like, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
I can try to change devices if this is ongoing.
Can you give you 3 minutes to change devices?
Let me try.
Okay. We'll come back at 1:15.
This is unreal. Mr. Chairperson, it seems there is a power outage, so I'll just try to speak up. I hope you can hear me better. Increase my voice volume. Is it better or not?
Yeah, it's better now.
I'll just talk harder. I use the 3G card and it's got a problem. Can't connect. Subclause 6 deals with transport of cannabis. The option there to just extend the ambit of what the regulations may provide for, and the important amendment that was already previously discussed is that we extend it to a passenger who is in a vehicle on a public road. The main amendment here relates to the word mutatis mutandis, and it is corrected that is as a result of some criticism that we received during the public consultation process. And obviously we don't need Latin in legislation anymore. Going over to smoking and consumption offences. In light of the fact that option 3 of the definition of cannabis is the preferred option, we can scrap option 1. Due to the fact that in terms of option 2, smoking was described in relation to THC and THCA, and consumption was in terms of the second definition restricted to THC only. So this we can scrap. So the clause is clause 6, and that deals with offences involving a child. I think a responsible adult, I did discuss it previously. As a result of comments, offences increase to a class C offence. Probably necessary in some instances. One must remember that the other person and authority of the person may be somebody that is amongst others at the juvenile detention center. If he allows it, obviously, there is the option of the increased fine. Is there a problem to change it to class C offense, or is it preferable to do it to class D offense?
No objection. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Paragraph B is a minute, mainly going to deal with the definition of responsible adult. Sub 2, there's some amendments to it, and it's mainly that similar to the current sub 2, it contains cannabis cultivation material, and it then indicates that cannabis plants here restricted to immature cannabis plant. And then the offense that is prescribed is a class B offense. My submission is either we can probably change this to a class C offense. I don't think there's real harm or imminent harm that result from such actions. Unlikely. Paragraph B, however, deals with the fact where a person engages a child to deal in a flying cannabis plant or cannabis, and then in respect of that, the class A offense classification needs to be retained. So in respect of paragraph A, it was a class A offense, but it's downgraded to class B offense. can probably fairly be downgraded to a Class C offense in the discretion of the committee. And the second offense in paragraph B is already part of the current clause in the law. So it's mainly to either retain Class B or downgrade it to a Class C offense.
Proceed.
I just want to indicate that this specific clause also deals with children, and the Constitutional Court did confirm the order of constitutional invalidity in respect of children and the prohibition that is a class offense if they use or possess cannabis. I'll deal with that later on if I deal with procedures to the Child Justice Act. Okay. There is a proposed option to subsection 4. This is merely to clarify the clause. This is as a result of the comment and the responses, and we refer to subsection 1B. This is inserted actually in the clause by itself, so it clarifies it. Again, my submission is you can downgrade this offense, these to the Class B offense, but that can be done at a later stage. Option 1 to sub 5 is also as a result of comments and responses, mainly that the question was asked, what is intended by administered cannabis? This was an attempt to kind of define it to the extent that it is the administering of cannabis to a child without a child's consent or knowledge, and that's basically it. In respect of cannabis, I did indicate previously that notwithstanding the third definition of cannabis, there is a clause that actually do regulate it differently to an extent. And cannabis here in item AA does indicate that for purposes of smoking of cannabis, it means paragraph A and B of the definition of cannabis, and for purposes of 1DB, that is where consumption is applicable. One must take into account that two aspects is relevant here, namely it's THC or THCA. Obviously the harm that is guarded against is to give the intoxicating drug to a child. We exclude THCA then from administered cannabis to the child. There's alternative proposal that we include both THC and THCA in this definition, also CBD. My submission is probably just stick with THC. As is defined in the third option, and do not deal with alternative proposal here unless the committee decides otherwise.
Let's proceed.
Thank you. Penalties, we're going to go through all the various options of the penalties. Third option is the relevant one, and the penalties substantially decreased. Plus I offense is now 6 years, plus B is 3 years, plus C is 12 months, plus D offense is just fine of up to 20,000 rand. And obviously, the conviction of a class D offense is not a previous conviction in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act. Clause A deal with expungement. I'm not going to deal with that. It was previously discussed and no objections were raised. I'm going to deal with it on that basis. Regulations clause was amended to the effect that to accommodate the regulations that must be made in terms of clause 3.8. Also, which includes communal property, and provided that such regulation, as well as regulations in 2A and B, must be submitted to Parliament before publication in the Gazette, and Parliament must approve it, obviously, beforehand. Commercial activities, chapter 2, the option 1 is the preferred option. It uses two aspects, mainly to get rid of the reference to recreational cannabis. There were certain comments or during the second part of the comment and responses discussion, issues was raised to the fact that the bill actually compels Parliament to enact other legislation. I think that is, if one looks at paragraph 4.5 and 4.22 of the comment and responses document, it's discussed in detail. I'm not going to discuss it here. Due to the fact that we got rid of recreational cannabis, obviously some consequential amendments was affected, mainly that relates to the smoking and consumption of cannabis in respect of where there needs to be population monitoring or public awareness, etc. Option to that paragraph is paragraph G, and that provides for reasonable measures to accommodate cannabis for cultural and religious purposes. That's obviously dealt with in the bill, but it's an option that can be considered to pass the buck, actually, that later legislation must deal with this. My submission is, I did put it here, I think it was as a result of the discussion with some persons that made comments. My submission is we can probably leave paragraph G out.
I see no objections. Proceed.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The other one is a consequential amendment. Okay. Mr. Chairperson, yesterday in the committee, I think there was indication to the effect that the bill can, to an extent, accommodate commercial activities as an interim measure by way of regulation. Before I discuss this part of this chapter, I just want to find out if you still held that we can probably try to facilitate hemp commercial activities as well as cannabis commercial activities by way of subordinate legislation. In terms of the empowering provision. If not, I then need to discuss it. If yes, then I need to discuss it.
Can you repeat that?
Mr. Chairperson, yesterday in the committee, I think it was Mr. Swart to an extent that to indicate that the bill can probably provide for some measures to deal, amongst others, with commercial activities. I think his main concern was in respect of the prescribed quantities of THC. I did indicate yesterday that there is also a possibility to accommodate commercial activities in respect of hemp and cannabis in the bill by way of an empowering provision that provides for the making of regulations to regulate such commercial activities. Don't need to discuss it, or it's up to the committee.
I see no one. Honorable Sort.
Thank you, Chair. I'm back. I'd like to hear what the proposals are, and then we can consider whether we should rather just have an empowering provision. Maybe it will be helpful for us to consider this. Just hear what the proposal is. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sort. Mr.
I'll continue. Mr. Swart, this is actually an empowering provision that provides for the making of regulations in respect of commercial activities. It's quite technical. First, clause 10A deals with a lot of regulations, definitions that is relevant, amongst others, to the regulations that need to be enacted in terms of clause 10C, which I'll discuss later on. And then in terms of clause 10B, it indicates that commercial activities in respect of hemp is hereby authorized, but is subject to the regulations and obviously subject to all the legislation provided for in subsection 2. I only had a day to deal with this, so I list two laws that is relevant currently: the Medicines Act, the Foodstuffs Act. A third a law that's applicable, the Plant Improvement Act, which regulates cultivation material. That needs to be inserted, and there is probably three other laws which I still need to provide for. And then in terms of the 10C, this is the empowering provision. It indicates that the minister, and if one looks at ministers, the Minister of Agriculture, in respect of hemp, may make regulations to provide for licenses, other licenses, the conditions or the terms of the licenses, and also additional conditions that may be imposed in respect of licenses. This can be done by way of regulations, obviously. A big concern is, however, to see prescribed fees payable for licenses. Some people regard this as a form of tax, and it actually needs to be done by the primary legislation. There is, however, other legislation that do provide for fees that's payable in respect of certain actions by way of regulations. So this is an aspect that needs to be considered. And then obviously following the regulations, you may prohibit strict imposed conditions generally, specifically, you know, in respect of classes or particular cases of persons regarding commercial hemp activities. Commercial hemp activities is probably quite relevant here. I didn't discuss it, but commercial activities relates to the cultivation of hemp and the supply, procurement, selling, possessing, processing hemp into specified hemp products, import or export hemp products, etc. But it must be done under authority of a license in terms of the regulations. So that can be regulated in terms of 10C. Furthermore, the minister can...
This definition of a minister, because I think we are during in the process of this or in the course of this bill, we make reference to quite a number of ministers or agriculture. Okay, so there is no role that is played by our own minister at all. in this bill.
It's just, Chair, for the purposes of this part, it is the Minister of Agriculture. For the purposes of other parts, it is the Minister of Justice.
That's good. No, that's good. Thank you very much, Honorable Swart. Mr. Roberts, you can proceed. For some time, I just forgot your name. Maybe I'm tired because of it's December. You can proceed. Mr. Robertson?
Can you hear me now? I hope. Okay, I was asked at approve or prohibit certain cultivars of hemp for commercial activities. It can regulate the quantity of THC, and obviously the seed is quite relevant here, and also how you can deal with hemp with a certain content. And of an approved cultivar or an excess thereof, you can regulate that all. And then you can control or restrict hemp for commercial activities, amongst others. The manner to deal with THC, that is the hemp product, obviously a byproduct of hemp is THC, and obviously the destruction of prohibited cultivars. You can regulate the import, export, sale, distribution, possession, destruction of hemp seeds. There's various regulations that can be made to give effect to the implementation of this clause, amongst others, starts from where you plant hemp right through to the final product. And then just to make very certain, you can describe the concentration of THC in respect of hemp. The Minister of Agriculture can, in principle, the regulations provide for waive fees in respect of license applications. You can exempt persons, and then it's the general all-inclusive clause that provides that the Minister may, by regulations, provide for such matters as may be necessary to give full effect to the provisions of this part and for its administration. So this is quite important here. It do provide...
Before we move to chapter 3, Honorable Swart, you had raised your hand. Are you covered now?
Yes, Chair, I think this is very helpful given the fact that when you the issue relating to hemp right at the beginning, which is now removed, I think that is very, very important. If you go so that there is this empowering provision. I'm just interested that to ask whether there's no other such empowering provision under the Agricultural Act. I would presume not, given the fact that that we are now dealing, that there is a definition of hemp here now in our Act, and that under the definitions. And there is a reference to as may be prescribed in terms of a law that requires its cultivation. So would this empowering clause obviously link with the definition of hemp under Section 1? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Yes, you can answer, Mr. Robert.
Thank you. The definition of hemp may need to be redrafted if this is an acceptable proposal. I didn't redraft it since this is just a suggestion. If this is something that we can use in the bill, then obviously some other amendments need to be affected to Chapter 2. But currently in terms, this provision did provide that THC may be prescribed by regulation. So it's the THC content and definition of hemp, and clause one is redundant actually, but only to the extent that it does not deal with the exclusion of hemp from cannabis. That must remain.
Okay. Let's proceed.
Chapter 3, only relevant option here is there were minor amendments to this section. That is mainly to do with the, let's call it errors, grammar errors. However, there is certain aspects that probably still need to be addressed and to give full effect to this this particular clause. Amongst others, that the clause makes provision for administrative penalties, and there must be a provision or in this clause that actually regulated more widely. This is not done currently. But that will be done when I prepare the A-list, and I will allude to the committee to such amendments. Chapter 4 is mainly the general provisions that deals with the repeal amendment of laws, and obviously the short title. It's mainly renumbering. We're going to discuss it. In the schedules to the bill, there is consequential amendments and additional options. I think most of it has been clarified regarding immature cannabis plant, etc. The increased quantities for a commercial quantity were already, the committee already alluded there to previously. And the only other real significant amendment relates to the amendments to the Child Justice Act. As a result of the confirmation of the challenge judgment by the Constitutional Court, obviously, children must be dealt with soft hands. Certain additional amendments were proposed. Mainly to include certain offences which can be committed by any person in the different schedules to the Child Justice Act. Probably not going to discuss this in detail. And that brings me to the end of the submission. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we go back to that clause? I think the first clause. Where there were differences of opinion.
So I believe, it's either the use of cannabis palliation medication or use the words and to use cannabis to self-medicate. And it was explained, yes.
So members, having gone through the whole bill and in much detail, is there anyone who has reconsidered his or her views or who still wants to make further submission with respect to the two options?
Chair.
Honorable Jala.
We agreed on the second option. In fact, the where we were talking about it was the issue of the second option. I think
second option.
Yes, I think it will cover, it will be covered by that part that we were talking about earlier.
Thank you very much. Honorable Nuvo Trohan.
Thank you, Chair. It is a bit difficult to read and watch the presentation. I would prefer to read first. If a decision needs to be taken today, then I will go for option two, but I would prefer to read first. I also wanted to ask Mr. Robertson if he can email today's document, today's presentation, a full copy, because then I checked what was sent on Monday by the Secretariat, and I think there are new additions, so I want to go through that after, and then, you know, after the submission that was given to us on Tuesday by the House of Traditional and Khoisan leaders. So if I'd like to, I'd like to read through the documents carefully before I comment or make my submission. Thank you.
But you said second option. Am I correct?
If that is the decision, if I had to make a decision today, it would be the second option, yes.
Second option, okay. Because we also need to give some level of certainty for the drafters to go and draft so that this issue can also serve on the joint tracking mechanisms. This bill has been with us for some time now. And any contrary view to the second option? None. Thank you very much. That does not close doors. If you would want to raise issues at some point as we are proceeding with the processing of the bill, Honorable Nevot Dohan. But I think for the purposes of us giving instructions to the drafters, they need to start drafting. And so that before we adjourn this year, this bill must be before the joint tracking mechanism. Members, I think we have come to the end of the meeting. Committee Secretary, when are we going to deal with cannabis bill again?
Chair, let me just quickly check the program.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Mr. Roberts, you said you need about 5 days to produce list A, is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairperson. So my side is, the only question really is the commercialization of hemp, the empire and provision, is going to, if it's an option that is kept in the bill, there's going to be some amendments in respect of applicable legislation that's applicable, and I might extend the regulations, or rather the topics in respect of which regulations may be made further. So, and I further want to inquire, there's also an option to, for the interim, provide for cannabis commercialization by way of regulations, but I need to have a clear indication. It's quite intensive to do such inquiry provisions. So if the committee wants such a provision, I'll cater for it. In the
I'm struggling really to hear you.
Okay. Denise. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Mr. Chairperson, my question relates to the commercialization of hemp empowering provision. I did, there's going to be some amendments that will be affected there too. I will propose that Dr. Lewis be consulted in this regard, and Ms. Wilkstone. And I want to ask the following question. Must I also cater for empowering provision for the commercialization of cannabis, the ITH level for the interim or not?
Members, that is the question.
Chair Swatya, maybe we should stick with hemp because it is a very low THC level for the time being. I notice, according to my program, the next meeting is on the 29th of November. We might, subject to what the committee clerks say, but my understanding is the 29th, which would give some time to, if we broaden it, then we're going to have to come back and consider all the further implications of that. I think for the time being, maybe we should just stick with the hemp provisions, and maybe in the NCOP process, there can be additional side to that. But that would be my input. We've now seen before us, and bearing in mind what you wanted, you indicated an A list before we rise, which we've got a full program. And our next meeting will only be the 29th, and we are rising on the 1st, although according to the yes, there might be a later sitting, but at this stage, that would be my proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Is there any different view to what Honorable Swart is suggesting? None. So that is your answer, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I will consult with Dr. Lewis regarding any amendments. She can also give input in this regard. Thank you. 29th, I probably can ask the A-list ready around about Thursday next week. If I'm finished with it, I'll submit it to the committee and the date can be determined for consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Wilkstone.
Good morning. I think it's lunchtime now anyway, so it's good afternoon. But I know Mr. Robertson just mentioned briefly the Constitutional Court judgment around children. And I just wondered whether he had a few words to say around clarifying the impact of that judgment for the bill. On the bill, sorry.
Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. What was confirmed by the Constitutional Court is to the effect that it's a status offence to keep children criminalised. In short, children for drug offences, cannabis in this instance, it's not appropriate to deal with them through the current structures, we can refer the person to, amongst others, one of that detention houses. And the aim or the crux thereof is that other measures, amongst others, in terms of the Substance Abuse Act and the Children's Act is more appropriate to deal with child drug offenders. I think if you look at the amendments to the Child Justice Act in the schedule, only in respect of very serious offences where Schedule 2 and 3 applies. But that is out of necessity. It's not similar to the Allen judgment where it was the use of cannabis by a child. Thank you. That's in short.
Thank you. Are you covered, Ms. Wilkstone?
Yes, thank you. I'll have a look at the schedule as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So let's say for now, we will deal with this bill on the 29th. But if Mr. Roberts finishes earlier and the bill, and then he is able to submit the A-list, you will be informed accordingly. Then we will see what to do. But according to the program, we will deal with the bill on the 29th, which will take some time, in fact 2 days, unless what Honorable Swart is suggesting materialize, that there could be another sitting. It could be around what time, what date, Mr. Honorable Swart?
So it all depends on the electoral amendment bill and the amendments from the NCOP. There's a cut-off date there, so it could be a sitting the following week, which will be the 6th or the 8th of December, but there's nothing finalized in that regard yet. That's all still in the air. Will be discussed at the programming committee tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that information, Honorable Swart. It's always good to have people who sit in other structures, and Honorable Swart is very valuable in that regard, that he sits in the Chief Whip Forum and other structures. It does assist the committee. But for all intents and purposes, we are not going to be in a position to finish this bill this year. So let's look at what happens on the 29th, how far we can go, and then thereafter we can be able to develop a program for the bill as to when do we think the bill would be debated in the House, because we don't know how long will the joint tracking mechanism take to revert back to us. So for all intents and purposes, it would not be done and dusted this year. And then Friday, members will be dealing with the hate crime, hate speech, the adoption of the minutes, the BRRR reports. So this is going to be an hectic day on Friday, all the BRRR reports. And then I think Honorable Breidenbach will update us on the logistics for the workshop. That is on Friday. So that is what we would be dealing with on Friday. And I think also with the days that are available, it's also possible that we will have to finish this hate crime, hate speech bill next year, because we are still awaiting the deadline. We agreed that it was supposed to be last Monday for other parties or other members to make further submissions on the hate crime, hate speech. And to the best of my knowledge, I have not received anything from other members, except Honorable Horn and Honorable Maseko Jele, whose submissions we dealt with last week. Honorable Horn?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The idea was, Chairperson, as you would recall, to also make a submission on the hate crimes part of the bill, that it will not be as lengthy as the one on the hate speech bill, but I will, with your permission, try and finalize it by tomorrow in order for it to be circulated. So if, with your permission, it can then serve on Friday, I would welcome it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Other members on the issue of hate crime, hate speech, specifically on the further submissions. Honorable Yago, you promised that you are going to also make a submission. Okay.
I'm also considering, I do appreciate the time that you gave us, but there's just such a lot of other issues on one's plate at the moment. if I'm ruled out of order, then that's just one of those things. But if there's any chance, I do appreciate your sentiment that given the sensitivities around the hate speech aspect, we might hold it over. But that would help. But I'm in your hands in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think I want to also echo the sentiments of Honourable Swartz that given how we have been so inundated with everything all at once, it's been rather difficult to consolidate all our thoughts and just do things on time. So if we could have a little bit of a grace period, that would be appreciated.
Thank you very much. Let's maybe committee secretary, if we're left with 2 weeks, can you just highlight what we will be doing in the next 2 weeks? I know next week, Tuesday, Wednesday is the workshop. And then I think thereafter, okay. Yes, Tuesday, Wednesday is the workshop. And then Friday is the MPA. 29, we're dealing with cannabis. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fine. No, that's fine, which means we will deal with the hate crime, hate speech next week. And then we will definitely have a submission from Honorable Horn. So there is no way that given how the program is, there is no way that we would be in a position to finalize both hate crime, hate speech and cannabis bills. So we will, that would also give members, I think we will be able on Friday to map out a way forward with respect to the hate crime, hate speech. We would, there is an application or a request by Honorable Iago for further extension. Let's deal with hate crime, let's deal with the bill on Friday, and then maybe we can discuss further extensions if people still want further extensions. If they still, on the basis of what we would have discussed on Friday, people feel that they still want to make submission, let's discuss that on Friday. Will that be in order?
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members and everybody on the virtual platform. Thank you very much for your attention. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.